Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Samaritan woman, the text is the gospel just read, in which the Samaritan woman was doubly guilty. The Samaritans were the outcasts of Israel. And we saw it in the text where John added a comment, Jews do not have relations with Samaritans because they were the ones who set up a rival temple. They were Israelites, but not really, because they had mixed with the nations, not only through intermarriage, but also through religious practice. So they had their own place to worship on Samaria, which is what the woman makes reference to. And that's why she asked Jesus the question, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. The Samaritans knew that they were wrong in God's sight, but they were also too proud to come back and return to where they had originally come from. And besides that, who in Israel would have received them anyway? That's a theme that we see throughout the Gospels. So that was the woman's ancestry. She came from a family that belonged to these outcasts. But her own life was a mess too. She herself had sin that she was hiding from other people, and maybe even trying to hide from God. And the way that we know that is the time of day that she's coming to the well. John adds there that it was the sixth hour, high noon. Nobody goes to draw water in a desert at high noon. You either do it in the morning or you do it near sunset. But here the woman is doing it when no one else is around. But Jesus has a gracious purpose for her. He says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. The real problem for this dearly beloved by God woman is that she's trying to come up with human fixes for her sin. She's trying to work it around so that she doesn't hear the accusing voice, either in her own conscience or from the Jews or even from her fellow Samaritans. So she comes when nobody is around so that nobody will bother her and no one will find out the real truth about her. And when it comes to sin today, we also look for human fixes. These are spiritual band-aids, if you will. You see it in the case of drugs and alcohol. You see it when people get involved in things like cutting or self-asphyxiation or fits of rage. These are destructive ways to try to deal with sin, but there are also constructive ways like psychotherapy and antidepressants. But the thing is that by themselves, those things cannot offer the spiritual peace that we truly need. If it's just them, they still leave us with the problem of sin, our guilt before God. But Jesus wanted to give this woman living water. And by living water, he doesn't mean a spring in the ground. He means forgiveness and eternal life. And the way to have that peace before God, and the way to have that living water is by confessing your sins. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The way that she was dealing with her sin wasn't working. It was only bringing more sin, more guilt, and it couldn't bring any peace. It's like the psalmist David said, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Confession of sins is something that can't be substituted by anything else. Nothing else can bring peace with God except confession before God. It can't be worked off. It can't be done by avoiding personal contact or by staying away from church. It can only happen when we open our mouths in truth to God. As Jesus said to the woman, "What you have spoken is true." The thing is, when we do stay away from confession, when we don't put those things out before God, Satan loves to give us reasons why they're either not so bad or why God could never forgive what we've done. The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us of all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." With the confession of sins, there needs to be the absolution. Because we don't just confess our sins and mope around and put ashes on our forehead just to feel bad for the sake of being sinners. God's desire for us is to forgive our sins, for peace with us. That's what Romans 5, the epistle, was all about. So God doesn't leave us in uncertainty. He doesn't want us to just muse in our hearts, "Maybe God loves me. I'll find out when I die if I go to heaven or not." The woman wanted to put absolute truth on hold when she said, "I know that when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all the things." But Jesus was no prophet. He was God. He was the Messiah who had come to suffer for sins. He was the one who came to bear the sins of the wandering sheep, the wandering Samaritans, and even the wandering Gentiles like you and me. He is the one whose blood shed on the cross covers the sins of the world. And he's the one who raises us up to eternal life and gives us peace with God. And the words of Jesus gave the Samaritan woman peace. As we can see from her going and proclaiming Jesus to her neighbors. Now this part wasn't in our gospel reading today, but it's an extension of it. In verses 28 to 30, "So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' They went out of the town and were coming to Jesus." So Jesus' desire for you is also to give you living water, to give you a good conscience before God and not leave you in your guilt and your uncertainty. He's well aware of your sin and my sin. He knows our depravity even better than we know it for ourselves. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, and you discern my thoughts from afar. But a peaceful conscience with God can't come from just thinking about God in the privacy of your own thoughts. That's the way that the Word of God comes to us. It doesn't just bubble up in our hearts, "Boy, I'd really like a forgiving God today." It comes from outside. And that's why God always sends his word through prophets and apostles. He sends his word from outside of us because of what St. John says in his first epistle. In chapter 3, he writes, "Whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." That's the peace that Christ came to bring to the Samaritan woman and to you and me, in sins confessed and sins forgiven. And that's also why Jesus instituted confession and absolution, a practice that Christians have been doing since, well, the night after Jesus rose. In John 20, it says, "Jesus showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.'" Jesus wants you to have peace with God through him, through the marks in his hands and in his side. And so he sends messengers, pastors to you to declare that peace to you. And it's something that's fallen out of practice in Lutheran churches today, but the idea of private confession and absolution is a weapon against the devil. And it's a weapon against our sinful hearts that want to cover over and come up with band-aid fixes for our sins. The real way to peace is through confessing our sins and hearing the cross of Christ given for you, hearing the words of absolution, receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which was broken and shed for you, so that you would know and not wait to some other time in life or even on your deathbed to find out whether God loves you or not or whether he forgives you, but here today to have peace with God through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why it's put so beautifully in the opening hymn that we sang today, in the third verse, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress, helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." Thanks be to Jesus for that washing away of sins that is yours in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.